Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast on this beautiful Friday. Joined by the normal crew here, the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar, the man behind the glass, MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, rocking a very fresh and well
He looks used. Really L.A. today.
He does. He's got the L.A. Dodgers ball cap on.
Yeah, you do look L.A. today.
He's got the Adidas pullover.
Are you shooting a rap video later?
Well, I am. Maybe if things work out well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, spoiler alert, special guest on NFL Fantasy Live today is one O'Shea Jackson Jr., a.k.a. Ice Cube's kid.
Yeah. Ice Cube.
Because he doesn't go by Ice Cube, too, obviously. You can't step on that turf.
No.
Ice Chip, maybe.
Ice Chip.
And the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. What's up, dude?
Just trying to get by the next 3 weeks, man. This bronchitis, it doesn't let go easily. Let's just put it that way.
But, got the old black lung pop.
We're fighting. Yeah. I walked into the podcast. I sounded like I was on my deathbed.
That was not fun. He coughed all over the money that he owed.
No, I didn't.
I don't care if you did or you didn't. I'm going to sanitize the hell out of that money when I get downstairs.
That's how I should always give up.
I can give you new money.
I don't know. Don't give me more dirty money. I'll just sanitize this.
Sorry,
and we'll be good.
That's how I should always give up money.
But at least I pay my
cough
debt.
All over it.
Cough
and by
all
the way,
here you go. Congratulations, jerk.
That $21 goes to
Star Wars.
Oh,
the tickets.
Oh, less than a week.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
All right, so we're going to be talking about fantasy playoff matchups. Alex Gelhar is shortly going to have a gorgeous piece up. It's called NFL.com/
Go and get
playoffs.
It. Go and read it.
And Gelhar, talk to us about what you do there.
Well, we'll get into it more later, but it has every team, all of their fantasy relevant players, and then the FPA for each of them for every matchup in their playoffs, as well as the home and road split. And then beneath it, I've got a little more nuggets and a paragraph of analysis on every team as well, what kind of to expect, who to trust.
That is in.
So as you can expect, with a lot of players on 32 teams, it is beefy. Thankfully, some teams make it easy, like the Rams. I only had to write about Todd Gurley. And even then, it was kind of sad. But
yes, I would imagine so. All right. We've got fantasy playoffs, of course. We're going to be getting into that. Good and bad schedules, obviously. Daily Daps, top headlines. But first, let's react to this Thursday night football game. Hey, we actually had a primetime game.
It was good.
That was good.
You know, we've been – it's kind of this narrative where everybody just poo-poos the primetime games, but we've had a string of really good ones the last, like, couple weeks.
Okay.
Because, I mean, last week there was Denver-New England, which came down to the wire, was on the walk-off. Or
great.
2 weeks ago was that. Then there was the Monday Nighter that was with the block-off. That was exciting. And then we had – Packers-Lions with the Hail Mary.
The block-off had a great finish.
That game was entertaining. No. Don't tell me you were not entertained in that game.
Are you not entertained?
That game could have been an abject disaster, but it was very fun to watch.
Three quarters was.
And then now we get this one, which was much more of a back and forth, good air quotes football game all around.
Well, no, it's because we were watching good football though. There was actually good football players making good football plays. And
there,
it was back and forth.
There was in two of those other three games I mentioned.
All right, there you go. So the final score, 23-20, the Cardinals win, and they go on to clinch a playoff berth. Have they clinched the NFC West yet?
Not yet.
Not quite.
If Seattle loses, they do, I believe.
Yeah,
but
they've clinched a playoff berth. You know what's getting scary, guys, is like Carolina, Arizona. You know, pretty soon we could be worried about whether or not they play their starters in Week 16.
Good point. I don't think Bruce
Arians. I'm not worried yet. But,
well, Bruce Arians isn't the kind of guy that does that, though. I wouldn't be too worried about the Arizona Cardinals.
I also wonder, though, with certainly Carolina looking like they're on track for that first round bye.
Right.
Do you really want to sit Cam Newton and have him essentially have 2 weeks off before you have to play?
Listen, no. Heck no.
No, I know. We're saying,
no, point.
Also,
I don't want that.
I don't think Arizona is going to, because they're still going to be battling for the 2 seed. And they have a crucial matchup with the Packers for potentially playoff seeding if the Packers win the next couple in Week 16.
There you go.
So that should, for the Cardinals and their explosive offense, get us clear of the fantasy playoffs. God willing.
All right, so let's talk about some numbers on this Thursday night football game. Carson Palmer on the strength of two very unexpectedly long touchdowns, had 310 yards of two touchdowns, 20 fantasy points.
Dude, I have a horror story from last night.
Please, hit me.
So in one of my leagues that I'm in the playoffs, my receivers are Randall Cobb, I have Floyd, I have Vincent Jackson, Brandon Cooks.
Floyd on your bench?
And Brandon LaFell. And I had Floyd on my bench.
Uh-oh.
And I would have started him had I heard in time that Brandon Cooks suffered a concussion in practice. Sorry, I know nobody cares about my fantasy teams. But
that's true.
That one hurt.
That's true.
That one hurt last night because its PPR was 21 points.
I have both Floyd and John Brown.
On your bench?
On the bench, my league of
record. No!
However, that's because I'm loaded at wide receiver in this league, and I have Nuke Hopkins, Allen Robinson, and Martavis Bryant in right now.
Good.
Yeah. So I'm not exactly mad about it.
Oh, I'm mad.
But I was sitting there on Thursday night like, that's almost 30 points sitting
I
on
wish
my bench.
I would have heard about Cooks earlier. I would have taken him out and put in Floyd.
I mean, because both of those touchdowns were, I got to be honest, they were unexpected. They were like 15-yard passes and then just to the house.
Well,
see you later.
I mean, Larry Fitzgerald erased
just
Harrison
that.
Smith.
Oh, hell out of sight.
Beautiful.
On Michael Floyd's touchdown.
Honestly, that play should go on his Hall of Fame reel.
That play should
that
be
was
like,
beautiful.
Like how you teach offensive linemen how to block. He just destroyed him.
Michael Floyd, as we mentioned, 100 yards, a touchdown, a big one. John Brown, 78 yards and a touchdown, a big one. Larry Fitzgerald, that's how it goes sometimes when you've got three very good receivers. I don't think they were ignoring Fitz.
No.
He got six targets, got 41 yards.
Had five catches.
You know what, though? In standard leagues,
yeah,
he hasn't been good the last 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, you're looking at 9 points being his high watermark
in
the
you.
Last 4 weeks. In PPR leagues, he's been better.
Right.
But in standard leagues, and let's not forget, guys, this is the same Larry Fitzgerald who really hasn't been that great in fantasy going into this season.
Sure, the last couple seasons.
That was when he, if I was playing quarterback for him last year, it would have been an upgrade.
Carson Palmer was there. He was injured. But even in the games where Palmer was playing, Fitzgerald wasn't putting up gangbusters numbers. And we talked a bit about this on NFL Fantasy Live yesterday. Carson Palmer will throw it to the open receiver. He's not going to be like Jay Cutler and try to force it to Alshon Jeffrey or whatever the case may be. And lately, Fitzgerald has been a disappointment if you're only getting points for the yards and the touchdowns.
All right, so what are you telling me? Next week, are you saying?
Well, I got to look at the matchup
sure.
still. I got to look at the matchup still, but we'll see what happens. This has been a trend now.
First half of the season, no doubt about it. Larry Fitzgerald, a wide receiver one, you basically had to play. I mean, he came out of nowhere to have put together a very nice first half. But you're right. Over the last 4 weeks, he's mm-hmm. fallen off just a bit because the team has gotten a lot healthier at the wide receiver position, not the running back position, obviously, but at the wide receiver position. And as a result, Larry Fitzgerald has taken somewhat of a back seat. Mm-hmm. I also do believe, you talk about Carson Palmer's tendencies. He's got a tendency, and Bruce Arians loves drawing it up as well, that deep ball. He's going to take that deep shot. So whether that's J.J. Nelson, whether that's John Brown, whether it's Michael Floyd, I was going to call him Malcolm Floyd, who I guess is a deep threat too, but Michael Floyd, those are the guys that you want downfield. Larry Fitzgerald can get down there every
right.
now and again. But
Larry Fitzgerald is operating more out of the slot now with
I
Floyd
agree.
And Brown on the,
right.
Brown
that's
on the
exactly
sides.
Right.
But the thing is, here's the thing. Like you're right, he's been a disappointment, but this is a very – tangible, safe floor for him with yardage. And plus, if they don't score on those two obscenely large touchdowns, Fitz is their best red zone threat.
I agree.
Plus, week 15, he's playing the Eagles.
Hello!
I mean, look at
sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, I know the yardage hasn't been there, but I'm also looking at his game logs. He's only had fewer than 5 catches once this season.
Okay.
You're looking at least 5 receptions from him every day. And it's the vagaries of touchdowns. It's the vagaries of
right.
yards after the catch, which I know is frustrating to try to deal with. But, I mean, looking at overall, he's on pace for his first 100 catch season since 2007. He's already
is
over 1,000
right?
yards.
Right. Yeah. It's a standard league issue.
Catches?
Yeah, right.
In his last 4 games, 9 points, 6-6, 5-5, 4-1. That's not good. In standard leagues.
That hurts.
And obviously Philadelphia, I mean, if you were able to – overcome Fitzgerald's lack of production this week and you make it to the next round of the playoffs. I mean, he's
I'd fire
star.
Him back up.
But Yeah, the last 4 weeks, he hasn't been that great.
It's been tough.
David Johnson, the real deal, man.
Yeah,
dude,
buddy.
He missed on having a monster game.
Monster.
He dropped that pass,
which would have been a touchdown.
And then, of course, the knee down at the 2.5.
Yeah. And then they take him out.
I know.
You know, everybody's calling it a drop. I think it's they're both culpable because Palmer rifled that thing at
it was on his shoulder
back,
pad.
Like, actual back shoulder pad. Like, if you just try and put your arms to your back shoulder,
yeah.
That is such a hard catch to make. Plus, right. David kind of, like, stumbled when he was coming there. So it was like, Palmer, why are you throwing rocket balls at him right here?
You.
Just, like, give your boy a chance.
I hear you. No, no, I totally hear you. He's the real deal, though, man.
But he's great.
He's the real deal.
He's an RB1 the rest of the way.
123 total yards.
Yeah, he is.
Look, I hear what you're saying. You know me. I love the talent level. I've been touting this guy since day one. Love the talent level. But if Andre Ellington gets right, you don't think that Bruce Arians really starts making that a 50-50?
He'll sprinkle him in. Bruce is a guy that has all year and in the past rode one guy.
Yep.
So he'll use Palmer or he'll use Ellington as like the lightning to David Johnson's thunder slash lightning because he's not just a thunder back. So, and because Johnson's had 24 touches, I think, in back-to-back games now. I'm not overly concerned about it, especially with the way he's been producing for that offense. I don't think they're going to turn to Ellington, especially because Ellington has turf toe. It's not like that just goes away.
I guess the big question, too, is whether or not Ellington's even going to get right by the time it even matters for fantasy purposes. You're right.
They might shelve him till the playoffs.
You might be right.
Why not? Let an explosive playmaker like that get ready for the playoffs.
And we saw him last year, too. I think he tried to play hurt. It didn't work out. I think you're right. They've got this young guy who's been very productive, very effective. But no, you're right, man. He could have had an absolute monstrous day. Did want to give? It was an up and down day for Adrian Peterson. 24 touches as well, 86 total yards. Had just a gorgeous touchdown.
Yeah, it was
vintage Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about lateral movement, man? That was just an absolute thing. I think I watched that on replay 10 times. It was amazing what he was able to do moving laterally. It was great.
This is a good reminder game for Peterson. Like, I know there was a lot of hemming and hawing, and people were worried about him coming into this game because of what we saw happen last week.
Sure.
And he's still very good, and when they feed him touches, he'll produce. Obviously, you would have liked a little more because I think with the fumble, he finished with, 12 fantasy points-ish?
14, probably. So 8+6 or 8+4?
Yeah, right. but then the fumble.
Yeah, the fumble.
There you go. Gosh, man, but it was. I thought he ran well. It's a tough defensive front that they're going up against, and then of course when they were trying to come back late, it's a little bit hard to ask Peterson to do much. He was in there blocking. I thought he did a pretty darn good job of that as well.
One quick note, because we don't pick up or start anybody from this passing attack, but Mike Wallace. He did.
Wow,
he
it was the
did,
return of Mike Wallace.
He did some stuff right after, too.
he did some stuff.
He caught his first pass, and I busted out that old Obi-Wan meme where it's like, and it was the, a Mike Wallace catch. That's something I haven't seen in a long time. Mm. And then, of course, he goes on to get like a couple more catches and a touchdown. I was like, come on, Mike Wallace. You ruined my joke.
Yeah, Patrick Peterson was just, all over Stephon Diggs. They showed a couple of melt reels there. Showing Peterson just, blanketing him. So that was tough to see if you're a Diggs owner, but
you shouldn't be a Diggs owner.
If you're playing Diggs in the playoffs right now, you're in a pretty.
You're not going to be in the playoffs very long.
Probably not, or you're probably in a pretty darn deep league. But there,
like
you
that
go.
Guy that always comes into the mentions with his 22 team,
30
bench.
He's already
roster.
Gone, man.
No, this guy legit sometimes asks us to add people to the fantasy game because he's like, hey, they just signed this guy that was an undrafted free agent out of this D3 school, and I want to stash him in my 22 team.
If I'm not mistaken, though, I believe this guy asked us to add Thomas Rawls to the game back in July.
Yeah, well, Rawls should have been in the game. But he's also asked us for some other guys, so I'm like, what? But anyways, I digress.
Legit.
Should we do some news?
Please. Let's do it.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
I think the biggest news comes out of New Orleans. A couple different stories here. Mark Ingram to the IR. I believe he has a shoulder
That's
issue.
That's a killer, too, man.
Ingram has been one of the most consistent RBs in the game.
Gelhar feels my pain because I lost him in two leagues, and you lost him in a
couple, too.
Yeah.
He hasn't put up too many games where he was gangbusters. I don't know. I don't even know if he has a 20-point game this season. But that being said,
he has one.
He has for the pretty much entirety of the season.
He's fourth best running back in fantasy.
And not just that, but it's been so consistent.
Yeah. I mean, his floor was like, yeah, 9 to 14 points.
It was
what he would give you every week. Which
slide him right in there, no question.
So nice.
RB2, don't even worry about it. Let's just go.
So you go from solid play in my lineup, not even a second thought.
A rock.
To CJ Spiller
or
Tim freaking Hightower.
I hate everything.
All right, so that begs the question, of course. Who do you prefer, CJ Spiller or Tim Hightower?
I mean, I have Spiller ranked higher. I can see a scenario where Tim Hightower is the starter and gets the between-the-tackles touches, and then Spiller is more of the passing down sort of playmaker in the backfield. Even since Hightower has joined the team, I mean, he still hasn't seen as many snaps as Spiller. Obviously, that's going to change now. There's going to be an increase with Ingram out. But, I mean, I know C.J. Spiller is C.J. Spiller, and he's the year-in and year-out disappointment. But I can't see Tim Hightower getting more touches than him overall.
You know what?
I
look at Tim Hightower. First of all, can we just preface this by saying, in a standard league, you're not playing either one.
Not
of these
this
guys.
Week.
I just
no.
don't see it.
I might have to
no!
in a fantasy live league.
Really?
There are no options.
Yeah.
It is them.
But there's nobody on your bench.
I actually picked
Well, actually, I have Danny Woodhead, but the Chargers hate him right now for no reason, so I don't know.
I picked up Spiller in that league when I heard. What about?
I grabbed Hightower right away.
All right, so you picked up Hightower. I think you would prefer Hightower, no?
I don't even know. What I'm kind of hoping for now, as we'll get to this later in the headlines, is Anderson or Hillman misses the game so I can start Juwan Thompson.
Yeah, buddy. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, that's. Anyways, we don't need. But I think Hightower, he hasn't played as many snaps as Spiller because he was the pure backup to Ingram, and
right.
the only time he did see reasonable work and touches was when Ingram got injured, I think in week 9 before their bye, and then he had about as many snaps as Spiller, and he actually had more touches because they gave him all that early down work, and he still might catch a pass or two.
But I really prefer Hightower over Spiller. They've been phasing Spiller out of the offense, probably due to ineffectiveness. And again, the team, the way it's currently constructed, they do still want to run some. It sounds crazy for the Saints. They still want to run some power sets more often than not, and they're not throwing to the running back quite as often. Gosh, look, here's the thing. I look at Hightower, and then I look at a guy like Shragon Dragon.
Shragon Dragon.
I was like, are you talking about Game of Thrones all of a sudden? What is this?
No, what was that?
Shondron.
I
don't know how to spell Sean's name. I literally.
Drone. Every time I think of drone, I think of Empire Strikes Back and the drone that came down to Hoth because they were looking for their rebellion. Remember?
Yeah. Babs, I got some more books I'm going to give you. We need to get you up to speed on some other stuff. We'll get you some good comics, too. Marcus and I have a lot of good comics.
I like what I like. Yeah, I don't know. That's just the first thing that comes to mind.
But, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to have similar type production, but we wrote off Sean Drone. I mean, you got to remember.
But they have nothing else in San Francisco.
I 100% agree. But remember when everyone was saying, oh, it's Pierre Thomas's time?
Yeah, he got cut.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas was the first guy.
That lasted for like 3 days.
It did, but he was the first guy off the
waiver. At least on a positive note, Sean Payton said that C.J. Spiller early in the year had a knee injury, and that was really holding him back.
I see.
And that now he's hoping to get him enough touches where he can maybe get things going.
I'm not buying it.
Marcus, who do you prefer, Hightower or Spiller?
I'm leaning toward Hightower because he is more of the traditional running back that I think they want in that offense. And I'm reading right now a quote from Sean Payton where he says, they're asking him about Spiller, and he says, you know, I think the training camp injury set him back some. Then it's a matter of the confidence and explosion off that knee, but he will play a significant role, as will Tim Hightower and even Marcus Murphy.
Oh, great. Stop it with Murphy. Marcus Murphy is their special teams guy. I was intrigued, of course, because Tim Hightower is Tim Hightower. Marcus Murphy, the young guy, the rookie. I was intrigued, but, you know, it looks like to me he's more of that scat back type guy. 5'8" or 5'9".
He'll get a few touches, if anything.
He plays on special teams, does some kickoff return stuff. So I think they'll mix him in a little bit, but I really do think this is going to be Hightower to start. They'll of course work in CJ Spiller as much as they can, but man, I tell you what, dude, I don't know how you play these guys, either one of these guys, in this week, either going into the playoffs,
battle of
in the playoffs,
it's the war of attrition. Like that's why I'm going to have to probably play Hightower or Juwan Thompson. Is there are literally no other options,
bro? You have Danny Woodhead.
I know.
As much love as Danny Woodhead gets on this
right
podcast,
now.
You have to play Danny
I would
Woodhead.
Love nothing more than if my lineup got gritty and I beat Adam Rank because of Danny Woodhead.
You know, Adam had 5 wins all year.
I know. That's why it's crap. I don't have a bye. I should have a bye in that league.
He is like the Seahawks.
He's whoever's
right?
going to win.
Against the Saints that season.
Sure.
He's whoever's going to win the NFC East this year.
I like it. Also in New Orleans, apparently there are too many cooks. Brandon Cook suffered.
This hurts too.
Suffered a concussion during practice. I would be shocked if he clears concussion protocol by Sunday. What does this mean for? I don't know. I guess like Brandon Coleman. Willie Snead's also hurt. Is he not?
I think he's.
I believe
for this
he's
week.
Back.
Yeah, I think this was the week he was going to come back.
So I actually had Ben Watson as a sit in my start him and sit him column. I took him out and put him as a start now because the targets are going to go up.
Okay.
In that game for Watson, so that's going to help him. But this hurts because Cooks has been great. I mean, he's been great in the second
sure.
half of the
even
year
against Carolina, where we said, nope, can't play him, unplayable.
Had a good game. And running back is thin. Wide receiver is not as thin, but it's still hard to replace the production of a guy who's a top 20 wide receiver right now.
100% agree with you. What do you guys think?
I'll tell you one thing.
What do you do if you've got Brandon Cook?
This makes me like Tyrod, Jameis, and Fitzpatrick more than Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
oh,
great
yeah.
point.
Yeah, no, I
Breeze
definitely
has got to move down. No?
I definitely agree with that. I don't know. I don't know where you go at this point in the Saints offense. I mean, I guess you can go to Brandon Coleman. He saw some looks last week when he had the touchdown when he beat Josh Norman. But I don't know that I have enough faith in any of those guys to really put them in my lineup.
It's a pretty darn good matchup, too. The Buccos are not great defensively, you know what I mean? Boy.
You know who I really like this week, by the way, if you're looking for a replacement at quarterback for Breeze and Winston, Fitzpatrick, and Taylor have been gobbled up? I like Brian Hoyer this week.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't believe in the Patriots' pass defense.
No.
But I think Hoyer can get you
18
points.
I do believe in
points.
New Hopkins, though.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do.
Oh, yeah.
I really think Hoyer's a decent play this week, and maybe you can call that getting cute, but –
He's been,
for what it is.
He's been solid in
I
fantasy.
I agree. I think he's been pretty solid, too.
Yeah,
let's go to the Illadelph. DeMarco Murray has complained about his touches. He went to the owner, Jeffrey Loria, went over the head of his head coach and GM, who's the same person.
Depending on the story. But, yeah, that's why I put this, like, there's so many like smoke screens going on with this right now.
That's true. That's a very good point. But if we are to believe what we read, which is that DeMarco Murray did go to ownership to talk about his touches and how he's being utilized, because, again, we talked about DeMarco Murray. We were seeing a lot more of Kenyon Barner in that game. Kenyon Barner.
Yeah.
In that game.
Darren Sproles was the feature
what
back.
What happened? And, of course, we've got Ryan Matthews set
returning
to return
this
as
week,
well.
Yep.
So, DeMarco's, I'm assuming, on high alert here. What do you do if you got DeMarco?
I'm not playing him.
Golly, really?
He's like a low two, high flex. Running back is bad right now, man.
Bad.
I'll play Sean Drone over him all day long.
100%.
Okay. Yeah.
All day long. But a lot of people don't have that option.
I mean, we're kind of we're all operating on the assumption that Sean Drone is like a start as an RB2, right?
Yes.
I think he's in my top 12 this week.
I mean,
in PPR too.
Yeah. Oh.
Dude, he's even better.
No doubt.
He has actually saved a few of my teams because you guys all know I've lost Le'Veon in 4 leagues. I lost Foster in 6 leagues. So my running backs are really – he saved my bacon in a couple of weeks.
Have you guys tried to set your daily rosters this week?
Why?
Have you seen running back? It's amazing the names that you're like, I don't want to play him.
I'm sure
I don't want to play him. I don't
want to
play
him. It's got to be a wasteland out there.
It's bad.
It's awful. It's so awful.
But, yeah, I'm seriously concerned about Murray this week. I don't know if this is the case where it's even a narrative where they're like, oh, he complained about it. Let's give him 20 touches.
No, they're not.
Like, Philadelphia is battling for a playoff spot. They just got their most effective running back in Ryan Matthews.
Yep.
I'm sure Murray will get some touches, but
that's so pathetic that the Eagles are – in the playoff hunt.
I absolutely am not going to trust any fantasy playoff hopes on DeMarco Murray.
They take on the Bills, the Eagles at home, so that's a bonus. But the Bills, defensive front, not quite as good as advertised. Suffered some injuries, obviously, to that defensive line. But man, it's hard to trust DeMarco Murray. I see them throwing this ball a little bit more coming up this week, but we shall see. All right, how about in New England? Rob Gronkowski returns to practice as a limited participant. I would be shocked if he plays.
Yeah. He had a knee brace on. He didn't do a whole heck of a lot, but it's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I think the thing is, if Gronk plays, you play him.
Right.
If he plays, you can't play Chandler.
Right.
And if he doesn't play,
Chandler's
start
strong
Chandler.
Player.
Yeah.
Strong.
See, I think even if he does play, I mean, at this point, this week,
okay.
I think you can still play Chandler just because
a little bit of a decoy.
I do think he's going to be a decoy. I mean, obviously they'll throw a couple balls in his direction, but if he really is that limited, you know, that he's not really participating much in practice. How effective can he really be in a game setting? I think Scott Chandler would still be an option. I think next week I expect Gronk to be a little healthier, and then that's when Chandler goes out the
I don't know. Like Chandler didn't get a ton of targets even in this last game when he was running the thing by himself. So if Gronk comes in, and even if he's mostly a decoy but siphons away two or three of those targets from Chandler, I'm trying to just pull up the box score here to see what he actually had. Oh, why did you default to this week? But that would severely lower Chandler's floor for me. Oh man, I'm falling apart. No,
and
I totally clicked the wrong week.
And Julian Edelman getting healthier as well. I could see him soaking up a lot of these targets too.
So Chandler had 7 targets. So you know, even if he loses 3 of those to Gronk and he's only got 4 targets, you're praying for a touchdown.
Yeah, you kind of are. Although that's kind of what you're hoping for at the tight end position this year, anyway. So
a lot.
All right. C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman missed Thursday's practice. We saw a good amount of Juwan Thompson last week anyways. Mm-hmm. What do we make of this backfield mess?
Well, assuming they both practiced today, which was reported they were supposed to be back at practice.
Right.
I still trust Hillman more than I trust Anderson. Anderson's banged up, but I'm not in love with either one of them. I mean, the matchup isn't bad at all, but if I had to choose between one or the other, I'd probably go with Hillman. You know, Anderson had the ankle last week, missed some time. So
yeah.
it's a tough situation because you don't know who's going to see. It's almost like Green Bay where, you know,
Anderson
got hurt last week. He looked like he was the guy who was kind of on the rise. Now we don't know, you know, how close to 100% he is or what the carries distribution is going to be.
Right.
Neither one of these guys is more than a flex. And if you want to talk about Green Bay, which I know Alex does, maybe you can talk me off the ledge this week.
We'll see.
I've got Eddie Lacy in a league, and I don't know what in the name of God to do with him.
The Denver backfield, I think I might lean with you. I'm much more of a fan of CJ than Ronnie, but given that he's got the ankle injury and Ronnie seems to be a touch healthier, I would side with Ronnie in this instance. But if either of them gets benched, like Juwan Thompson's seriously in the mix if you just lost Ingram or anything, because he is the most powerful back of those three. And if they get down near the goal line, they could just let him fall forward into the end zone.
100% agree. He's taken on the Raiders. The Raiders quite generous as well. I'm not scared of that defense in the least. Let's go to Cincinnati. Tyler Eifert has returned to practice. Looks like he should be good to go for Sunday. He was much missed last week in fantasy circles, no doubt about it.
By the way, I love that the rundown says, Eifert returns to practice, hooray.
Sorry, I own Eifert in like 90% of my season-long league. So it is indeed a hooray for him coming back now.
Indeed, 12 touchdowns. Does he still lead the league? I think he does in reception touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So Tyler Eifert and his 12 received touchdowns. 12 receivers.
So just monitor to make sure, like, up, you know, inactives come out 90 minutes before kickoff. I'm pretty sure that's a 1 o'clock game. Is it not? It is. Good. So just make sure he's in before you trot him out. But he should be a good start if he's back.
They look like he's going to be good to go. Does it knock AJ Green's value down a bit?
No.
No? I thought you were going to say yes.
I don't think so.
I mean, maybe
not enough
touch.
To hit him.
I mean,
not enough to send him. Yeah.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, yeah, Eifert is more the red zone target, but not enough for me to be worried about him.
A.J. Green's, a lot of his red zone targets have been taken away by Tyler Eifert. It's a big reason why he hasn't been able to be the dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it'll hurt, but he's been heating up a little bit. He always gets up for games against the Steelers, and I think he's a fine start. It takes away any value for like Marvin Jones.
Marcus, were you saying that you were expecting this to be a little bit lower scoring game?
I was, just because these teams know each other so well. They tend to, you know, kind of match each other a little bit. I think it's going to be an entertaining game from, you know, just to watch, but
sure.
I would be surprised if we see this, you know, as a
28.
See, I see this going the other way. Their last game was like the 16-13 game or whatever, and I think the way these two offenses are playing right now, especially if a healthy Eifert comes back, it could be some fireworks in this game.
I don't love Roethlisberger this week.
No?
I've got to be honest with you. I would start Tyrod over him. I'd start Fitzpatrick over him.
Okay.
I would start Hoyer over him this
week. Whoa, come on now.
No, I'm serious.
That's crazy.
I don't like Roethlisberger this week.
What don't you like about it?
I really don't. I don't like the matchup. I don't like what he's done or not done in Cincinnati. I don't think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I really don't.
I don't mind him this week. That Cincinnati
Roethlisberger
second.
At home, start every single time. Things are different on the road.
The Cincinnati secondary is banged up. I mean, he just went into Seattle and dropped like 30 fantasy
points.
Yeah,
but he threw it like 60 times. Right,
that's probably what he'll do again here.
I don't know.
Their secondary is banged up. They might be missing safety George Aloka. I think Pac-Man Jones is still hurt. They just had to put one of their recent first-round picks on IR, I think, or he's also banged up. So I think he'll be okay this week.
I have I mean,
I don't know. I feel like this is a
– it's a tough one.
This is a 275, two touchdowns, one pick. Yeah, it's okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know?
I'm thinking he has a good but unspectacular game. Like, you know, you're not going to get 20 fantasy points from Big Ben this week.
It's definitely odd, because it does seem like these, when the AFC North guys get together, they're like, forget it. Let's just run the ball. I just want to be tougher. I want to be tougher than
I like
the other
what guy. Accent was that? You just said run the ball.
Run the ball. I don't know.
Run the ball.
East Coast bro. I'm not sure.
Don't ask James to figure out where his accent is from. He couldn't point to it on the map either.
It's like you're from like southern Brooklyn.
Nice.
All right, let's get out of these news. We got Lacey here to talk
about.
Oh,
yes.
James,
we promised you
favorite
on Tuesday.
Player.
We promised you on Tuesday.
Somebody's got to talk me off the ledge here. I
have to talk about Eddie Lacy. We had Green Bay's finest, the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, dig up some news. What do you got here for Eddie Lacy?
Well, I wish I had something more to talk you off the ledge. However, my gut feeling in knowing and following this team is that Lacy's going to get 15-plus touches this week again. That the benching and stuff happened that week. McCarthy says he's been rejuvenated in practice. They had like a man-to-man. They talked it out. Like, yep, sorry, I screwed up. We'll move on. And like the language, he was like, he wouldn't announce a starter or anything, but basically he was like, the language he used to describe the running backs, for like Lacy, he was like, yeah, it's all right there in front of him. You know, he knows what he needs to do, blah, blah, blah. And then for like John Crockett, who, you know, had the best game of the running backs against the Lions that last one, he was like, yeah, it's right there in front of him. He had a great opportunity. I was glad to see him like do it. Basically, it was kind of like, yeah, but he's not going to be back like into the mix as heavily was my interpretation of the coach speak. So it is absolutely going to be a risky venture, and you're going to be on pins and needles, and that every snap that James Starks is in is going to be pulling at your heartstrings if you start Eddie Lacy. But I think he could be flexed this week.
Yeah.
It is a solid matchup. And I think now that they've punished him, and the Packers know they need Eddie Lacy down the stretch and into the playoffs.
I have him as a sit this week. The Cowboys' defense has actually been really good against running backs in the last 4 weeks.
Okay.
But I do have Lacy in as a flex in one of my leagues because I have to.
Yeah.
I have to because, listen, there's nothing out there at running back. I mean, there is nothing. You can maybe, you know, put a few names on a board and throw a dart. You know,
right.
Maybe James White comes up and has a – I can't start James White over Eddie Lacy.
I had in one of my leagues, it's a 14-team league, I was like, I'm going to bench him. And I put him down on my bench, and I was like, oh, God, my running backs were – there's Amir Abdullah and Chris Thompson were my other options. And I was like, nah, you can just stay up there,
if
Eddie.
If you can flex a wide receiver, say you drafted a pretty good running back in the first round, maybe you have LeSean McCoy, maybe you picked up Drone off the waiver wire, or Rawls, or David Johnson.
All right.
Yeah, then Eddie Lacy is completely out of the mix in terms of being a starter. A lot of people don't have that option.
No. I hope, too, but from what I was trying to surmise, that this could be a bit of a bounce-back game for him again. Maybe not, you know, him going over 100 and getting a touch again, but he could probably slide into a nice, like, 100-total-yard day.
Okay. And real quickly, back to Roethlisberger, and then we'll go back. Roethlisberger has had one touchdown pass in 5 of his last 6 in Cincinnati. Just an FYI.
All right, so there you go. Eddie Lacy, what to do with Eddie? I feel like we could have an entire podcast of what to do with
Eddie. Time for everyone's favorite game show, What to Do with Eddie Lacy.
What are you going to do with Eddie Lacy, pal?
I would probably start him. I wouldn't like it. Wouldn't be happy about it. But I would start him just because, you know, I mean, he really could, you know, somehow get a whole bunch of touches or, you know, get the couple of touches you need to get some big plays. But, yeah, I would sit there and kick myself every time James Stark showed up on the field. I would be so frustrated.
If John Crockett's on the field once, I'm going to be ticked.
I think he's going to see work.
Yeah, I think he's going to be on the field.
I mean, what we saw last week, why would he
not? Nah, they're going to.
Why? That was because Lacy got benched.
Crockett's best run came when he ran the wrong way, too. Like, he didn't know the play, and he ran the wrong way and got lucky. That is fat. Even McCarthy was like, yeah, he had a nice run, but he ran the wrong way.
Okay.
So right. I don't think Crockett.
But that's how you know what? That's how explosive he is.
No, you know, blind squirrels find nuts too. Okay,
that's how explosive he is.
I would not be terribly concerned about John Crockett.
Maybe he ran the wrong way because he just freestyled.
Maybe.
You know.
Right, we should dive into some of this other stuff so we can get out of here before it's too late.
Oh man! All right, fine.
We'll have our own Eddie Lacy retrospective podcast in the off season.
The last thing I'll say about Eddie Lacy, we'll move on. There's no player in fantasy today that is more high risk. With a lower floor and a higher ceiling combination. Like, the guy could literally give you negative
points. He could give you 0.1 points again. Or
he could give you negative.
Or he could go out and drop 26.
Exactly.
On Dallas, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Exactly. And that it's like that wide variance. I don't.
I mean, he makes Deshaun Jackson's fantasy output look consistent.
Very good point. But, all right, fine. We'll move on. Let's talk about Week 14 matchups here. The Jets' offense has really come alive. They're taking on a Titans team that just gave up 5 touchdown passes to Blake Bortles. Talk to me about the Jets' offense, Marcus Grant.
Well, I mean, look, they've been sneakily consistent this year, at least
right?
in the passing game. And this is even before we get into, you know, Matt Harmon's second favorite wide receiver, Eric Decker. But Ryan Fitzpatrick has been pretty good all year long. Brandon Marshall is, what, a top 10 fantasy receiver right now.
Man.
Eric Decker is hanging around not too far.
Top 15,
outside
sure.
the top 10. I mean, this group has been really good. And it would be nice to see Chris Ivory kind of get back to where he was early in the season. But I do worry about him against that Titan running game, run defense. But, yeah, this group I like them. They've
I like
been really,
too.
Really good.
So, by the way, they have 2 wide receivers in the top 12.
Yep.
They have the RB6 and the QB12 as well.
Any worry about Chris Ivory?
I feel like he should be able to bounce back. He got benched a little bit because of his fumble, and the game turned into a shootout. But
somebody give me his game log point-wise? I feel like Chris Ivory has faded.
The last couple weeks,
he's
been up and down.
2 weeks ago, he had a big game. Yeah, he's been up and down.
So here's his last 5 games.
Okay.
Starting with week 9 against Jacksonville. 16.8.
Okay.
11.5.
You'll take that.
4.5.
Not good.
16.2.
Take that.
4.9.
Aww.
So it's been a little.
So that means that
he's due for another one. Clearly, if we're following this pattern, got to follow the pattern, guys.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's move on to the Bills' offense. Gosh, there's a lot to like, Fabs, in this Bills' offense.
You know, and it scares me too because it's like that week where the Texans were just, oh man, Brian Hoyer and Nuke Hopkins, start them and
right.
Oh, against the Saints,
yeah,
and blew up and for everybody.
Happened. But I mean, Tyrod's been as hot as a quarterback
sure.
can be in the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Sammy Watkins has been on fire. And
oh, my gosh, yeah.
Watkins was a guy that I said, hey, trade for him a few weeks ago when he was really struggling.
Paying off dividends.
But I didn't think it was going to even start until now because the matchups start getting really good for him. He's
sure.
done it. Hell, he did it against Kansas City. I mean, that
first half
really good. So you start. I don't love Charles Clay. The Eagles have actually been pretty tough on tight ends this year. But I could see Tyrod, Sammy Watkins, LeSean McCoy. I mean, heck, if you're streaming kickers, Dan Carpenter's even an option.
wow, kicker talk here on NFL
you know?
Fantasy Live
I mean,
podcast.
He's
good
an option.
Stuff.
He's an option.
The revenge game narrative.
Revenge
strong in this.
LeSean McCoy has not even attempted to beat around the bush.
Oh, no. He's not hiding this at all.
He basically took like a chainsaw to the bush and was like, "I'm coming for you, Chip." Coming for you.
I have him ranked as one of my I think I have him ranked as my top running back.
Yeah, I think I do
for
too.
The week.
I have him at 2 behind the Duggernaut on the next team. We're
going to
talk about the Bucks offense because they're facing the Saints defense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I have a huge point projection for Shady McCoy, especially in PPR. I think he's just going to get crazy. I think he's going to – Carlos Williams not there. LeSean McCoy, revenge game factor. I think he's going to be motivated. They're playing – the offense is playing well. There's a lot to like.
Start your Bills.
Absolutely.
Start your Bills.
And in daily, give me Shady McCoy all day.
Yeah.
All right.
What's funny, too, is that, like, McCoy was the one guy, maybe Adrian Peterson, too, where people were like, man, I don't know if I can draft him in the first round.
Right.
I'm worried about the offensive line. There haven't been many better fantasy running backs this year.
Because of the attrition and since he healed up.
Because
all of our concerns happened in the first half of the season.
Right,
he got
exactly.
injured in, like, week two, and everybody's like, oh, no! And then he got healthy, and he's been kicking. You know.
Well, and he's been and he ceded a ton of work to Carlos Williams early.
Yeah,
And we've seen a lot more touches and carries and
Williams has been hurt too.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
It's gone both ways.
I mean, McCoy's up there in the top 10, and he's missed some time.
Yep, there you go.
And he's only got what 5 touchdowns this year.
Yep. God, the top 10 looks like
a
graveyard, though, bro. I mean, it
oh,
is,
I know, I know.
It is rough.
Yeah, it's it, well, I mean, dude, you lose Jamal Charles, Arian Foster, yep. Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
who
yeah,
am I
yeah.
missing?
Half the league.
Dion Lewis.
Sir, I mean, like everyone got hurt.
Missed a couple games.
Yeah,
I mean, everyone got hurt. And Freeman, you know, he didn't start. He could actually even be better.
Sure.
Imagine if he opened the season as the starter.
Watch
right.
out.
Yeah, but it's ugly out there.
Bucco's offense, Gelhar.
Yes, gotta love it. Doug Martin's a great start. They've been bleeding points to the running back. Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson's are great starts. They've been bleeding points to wide receivers. Jameis Winston is a great start. They've been bleeding points to quarterbacks and. Austin Seferian-Jenkins is a great start.
Ooh,
now, I know people are going to be a little concerned because it was last week was his first back and only posted like 31 yards.
Yeah.
He also played a limited number of snaps. However, they were working him back slowly from injury. It seems like he's going to play a lot more snaps this week. The Saints are the worst defense in the league at defending the tight end. And even on his limited snaps last week, I'm pretty sure ASJ was second on the team in targets. He had 6 at least, which – if you're only playing like a third of the snaps, 6 targets is a huge number.
And Jameis likes his tight end.
Jameis likes his tight end.
He does like to throw the tight end.
ASJ is a wonderful streaming option if he's available.
If I, the only reason I would be hesitant to play ASJ is because Cameron Brate, I think, has done enough.
He disappeared once his ASJ came
back. No, I agree. But I'm just saying, I think he's done enough to prove that he deserves snaps. And again, we don't know the full healthiness, I guess, of Austin Seferian-Jenkins. But, you know, the team's invested in him. I think they want him to succeed. So we'll keep a close eye on that one as well. How about Sean Drum? First of all, we have this this thing in the rundown. It's called Week 14 Matchups, and it's all teams. It's teams.
Sean Drum.
And then Sean Drum. It's Jets offense, Bills offense, Bucks offense, Jags offense, and then Sean Drum.
Can we give a shout-out to Blaine Gabbert? Because once he took over the starting role, there were more jokes out there about Gabbert, and now...
Yeah, he's playing
well. That offense has actually got some fantasy value.
I agree.
It's no one has crazy. Been more excited about this around the NFL.
Than Marcus
media.
Grant?
No, than Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, yeah.
Blaine Gabbert is his boy. They obviously were together in Jacksonville, and he has been telling anybody who will listen that Blaine Gabbert.
I told you, your boy.
Blaine
your
Gabbert,
boy told you, man. Blaine Gabbert,
Blaine
your
Gabbert
boy.
Blaine Gabbert can make all the throws. to listen to MJD, Blaine Gabbert is the second coming of, I mean, he's
all right.
Joe Montana.
I'm sorry, we've exceeded our time allotment for Blaine Gabbert on the Fantasy Podcast by about 45 seconds.
Sean Drone taking on the Cleveland Browns.
Awesome
Browns,
matchup.
It's a great matchup.
Do
the
it.
Browns have been just not been good against defending against the run. Sean Drone's going to get a lot of volume. It's not bad. I like it. I think it's going to be a little bit low-scoring affair, but that's okay. I think Sean Drone's the one guy in there that you could have a lot of confidence in. Obviously, I put Blaine Gabbert into the danger zone. I do believe that...
Oh, he's in danger zone you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pinky in the blind.
But not Kyle Juszczyk.
No, not Kyle you.
I can't wait until he catches 2 touchdowns and throws it in your face.
It's the funny thing about Kyle Juszczyk, too, is the fact that you throw Kyle – if you don't know what position he plays, you just assume he plays tight end.
Right.
But
you have to start him as a running
you
back.
You actually have to start him. You have to start him as a running
That's
back.
That's why it's so dangerous.
Nope, I've got Pinky and the Blaine in there.
Okay.
And I think he's – look, if you've got Derek Carr – if you're trying to roll with Derek Carr, for example.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel bad talking – talking about Carr in a negative light because his brother's so nice.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's not.
Like, yeah, yesterday I saw him, and I was like, hey, what's up, David? Your brother is a sit-em this week.
It's not. I don't think it's negative, though. Look, he's just got a terrible matchup against the Broncos.
I know.
And I think if you've got that decision and Blaine Gabbert's out there and you're trying to roll with Derek Carr, I'd rather roll with Blaine Gabbert against the Browns.
I'd stream, like, anybody over Derek Carr
exactly.
this week.
Exactly. I would agree. All right. Where
Jay
we going?
Cutler.
Okay, maybe not anybody.
All right, Jags offense taking on the Colts. Fabs, what do you like?
Everybody.
Everybody?
Alan Hurns is back. Hooray.
It's amazing because, like, you know, back in the preseason, the teams that we thought were the juggernauts were the Colts, were the Packers, mm-hmm. were the Broncos, right?
Yep.
And the Jaguars. You can argue.
And the Jets.
You can argue that the Jaguars are one of the five best fantasy point-producing teams in the league, and maybe even top three. And the Jets are right there, too.
Yeah, I agree.
It's ridiculous. Like, this has been – and listen, I've been doing this a long time, and there have been a lot of wacky seasons.
Yeah.
This is the wackiest season.
This season is insane.
When entering week 14, Tim freaking Hightower is fantasy relevant. That tells you right there, when Peyton Manning's on the bench and you're starting Blake Bortles, Jameis Winston, Tyrod Taylor – and Ryan Fitzpatrick over Drew Brees, you know that it's a nutty season.
It's the lack of name recognizable stars.
Right, yeah, exactly.
At the top
and the
of the
injuries, man.
The injuries have been crazy.
Yeah.
It's been great to see Cam Newton, though, really
oh
emerge.
My, dude,
Cam
is a guy, he's the reason why I'm in a few playoffs.
There you go.
I mean, in our Fantasy Live
single-handedly,
I have him, and he is just destroying everyone. I mean, he is Superman. And if Tom Brady gets the MVP this year, that is complete and utter BS.
You think?
As long as Cam Newton, keeps playing like this,
Cam Newton is the MVP. And if it's not Cam Newton, then maybe it's Carson Palmer.
Also, like okay. in defense of Cam, I should actually find this tweet. I don't know if I can.
So
everybody talks about like, oh, Brady does it with no weapons. Cam is throwing to Jericho Cotchery,
Ted Ginn,
Philly Brown, Stonehand,
Philly/Corey Brown. And Devin Funchess, who is a raw wide receiver.
Cam is doing it like this guy has never played better in his life. Listen, Tom Brady's great. I love him. Okay. The guy is an amazing fantasy quarterback. But Cam Newton is the MVP, both in fantasy and reality. If he doesn't get the MVP this year, there's something seriously wrong with the voting. He is the guy.
Gosh. I don't feel that strongly about it.
Dude,
he's an
undefeated team, man.
I feel like it's nothing. A 50-50.
Oh, okay.
Greg Olsen.
I'm
okay with either guy.
So here's the thing. Not only is Cam throwing.
I don't even like Tom Brady, but I think it's okay. I like it
no
for either
way.
Guy.
I saw this. This was great. It was from the Fantasy Douche on Twitter. He's a great follow.
Yeah,
no, he is. He's got a lot of good stuff.
He's got a lot of good stuff.
He posted a board about Cam Newton's adjusted yards per attempt per receiver. So not only is he throwing to those guys, but he's averaging over 9.4 yards per attempt throwing to Corey Brown, 8.4 yards per attempt throwing to Jericho Cotchery, and 7.5 throwing to Funchess. Like, these are guys that should not have that high of efficiency metrics, and a lot of it has to do with Cam.
I mean, that's true, but Brady – look, I'm not going to get into an MVP.
Right, we could talk about this forever, but what we should do is let's tease this fantasy playoffs
let's
piece.
Let's do that.
You guys should go check it out.
NFL.com/fantasyplayoffs.
Fantasy playoffs. It'll be up a little later today.
All right,
we won't dive into it too much now because we should get out of here soon and dap it. Plus, this way it'll force you to go read
it. It's called a tease.
All right. Give the people a little bit of a taste. Okay?
Well, I mean, you know, we talk about stuff like dove into the Bucks. Like, Doug Martin has a fantastic playoff schedule the rest of the way. We look at some of the other guys. I talk a lot about some of the big-name players have really tough matchups deeper in the playoffs, so I also highlight in other team sections guys you can stream and recommend like that. So it's a good thing. Just pull it up. Bookmark it. I'll update it every week, too, with the new FPA for the playoffs until we're done. And hopefully it helps some of you get some fantasy hardware this year.
NFL.com/fantasyplayoffs. It breaks down good schedules, bad schedules, breaks down every fantasy, just about every fantasy relevant. How about this? Every fantasy relevant player in a standard 10-team league, it's covered.
Yeah.
The Whiz Kid from Wisconsin has your back. The boys got you. So there you go. NFL.com/fantasyplayoffs. We'll talk about good and bad matchups. Should we just do daily daps and get out of here?
Let's do it.
All right.
Extra, read all about it.
This is the day.
Daps and hugs. Give me daps because I'll be scribbling right.
Give me dabbing up daps and bound daps.
Daps.
All right, it's time for Daily Daps. Michael Fabiano, what do you got, Ben?
I'm dapping Gary Barnidge, who got a very well-deserved contract extension from the Browns. People have found out this year that Gary can do more than block. And when I heard about the extension, I texted him and said, I guess WrestleMania tickets are on you this year.
There you go.
A 3-year contract extension for the Barnyard Dog. I was happy for him, too. He's really emerged as one of the best players and a good dude as well.
Dude, he is such a good guy, total team player. As much as I, you know, text him and be like, hey, man, you're killing it in fantasy this year. You're doing great. Every time I get a response, yeah, but we didn't win.
Right.
He is all about the team. Great dude.
Alex Gelhar, the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin. Give me a daily dap.
All right, like I said, I got to get a couple movie related ones out of the way because I think I forgot to do one earlier. It's a Spotlight, starring Michael Keaton, Rachel McAdams, and Mark Ruffalo, among others. It's about the Boston Globe investigative reporting team that uncovered the Catholic Church scandal.
That's right.
Fantastic movie. Okay. Go see it if you can.
Great cast.
It's fantastic cast. They're all phenomenal. I also saw Krampus this past week. Which
really?
Was,
you saw that?
Yeah, it was awesome.
I want to see Krampus.
It was a lot
really?
Of fun.
See, it's, I feel like
really?
I feel
yes.
like that is not a Gelhar type of movie.
Every movie is a Gelhar type.
I was going to say, as long as it's on a screen.
Really? Okay.
So well, why Krampus is great is because it's like a throwback to the campy horror comedy movies like Gremlins and other like Fright Night and stuff like that. But there's a lot of cool practical effects. There's good jokes. I mean, Adam Scott, David Koechner in it. It's funny. There's some good jump scares. There's some cool stuff. I think it's a fun holiday movie.
Krampus. Wow.
And then the last thing I want to daily dap is Jon Stewart came back on The Daily Show this week on Monday to yell at the House of Representatives and the Senate
right.
for not passing the Zadroga Act,
right.
which is an act that gives health care and screenings, provides those to 9/11 first responders that are suffering ill effects from all of the dust and things like that when they were the ones to get in there.
Right.
It was shameful that it had lapsed and that they didn't renew it forever. So Jon Stewart had a really powerful segment on The Daily Show from Monday. Go check it out. And thankfully I saw yesterday it was announced that the Zadroga Act is going to be pushed through with the next big bill. So
nice.
Daily dap to Jon Stewart for getting that done and undap to all the people in Congress that politicked instead of helping the 9/11 first responders.
How crazy is that? That Jon Stewart, I mean, it's great. One guy really can make a difference, and that was a cause that he's championed for years now. Years.
Yes, and he was one of the first people that helped get it there. And his right. segment is he actually took 9/11 first responders and went and like tried to public like not publicly but like go talk to the senators that had not passed the bill and stuff and just like shame them essentially like
right.
what are you doing, why are you messing around with these people's lives
right exactly yeah no so it's been great. He's really made a difference and it's cool to see somebody with that kind of stature step up and put himself out there and try to get the right thing done, man.
Yeah, he started a hashtag that I think was trending on Monday night and into Tuesday called hashtag worst responders
because
of that. And
right.
So it's great. So daily dap to Jon Stewart for getting that done because my dad's a firefighter too, so that's something that's always very
hits a little closer to
near and dear to my heart, so it was good to see that get out.
There you go. MG, hit me.
I want to daily dap a couple of podcasts. One, daily dap to our friends at the Around the NFL podcast.
Yeah, man.
Awful Announcing put out its list recently of the top 10 best sports podcasts for 2015,
there
and they
go.
Were very deserving to be on that list. So, you know, I know we take up a couple hours of your week, but hopefully if you have some more time during the week for podcasts, be sure to check out The Room Filled with Heroes because they do a great job of it and they have a lot of fun doing it. It's always a great listen.
100% agree.
Also, Daily Dap, Serial is back.
Yeah,
Season 2 of Serial started on Thursday.
Yeah.
In case you didn't catch
I
up
thought
on
you meant like Cocoa Puffs.
No. The podcast which took the world by storm last season, which
yeah.
Last
Mail
year they
Kemp?
Mail Kemp? Exactly. Which maybe the best advertising value of all time. The last year they did a kind of a lesser known case of a murder case in Maryland. This season is a really
big story.
The Bo Bergdahl story, which was dominating the news for a long, long time. So they kind of get inside and take that apart. The first episode was outstanding, so I'm looking forward to the full season.
Did you hear the tease for that?
Yes.
They talked to guys from the Taliban?
Yes.
What?
Yes. That was the best part of the end of it. This is not a spoiler, but
I'm like, what?
As they're
what are you talking about?
They're promoting the next episode. Sarah Koenig, the narrator, says, this is me calling the Taliban. You're like, what?
Yeah, I'm hoping to listen to that today or tomorrow. So
that's it's not a spoiler alert at all, but it's just, it's amazing. It's like, wait, what'd you do? Okay, cool.
She just looked them up in the phone book or
Let me
Google Taliban phone number.
That's amazing. I don't know what happened. My daily dap will go out to, I only got one today, guys. Life After Death Star. Have you guys heard this?
Yes, I was listening to that yesterday.
It's a Biggie and Star Wars mashup. Some of the tracks not great, but man, I tell you what, there's about two or three on there where you're like, oh my gosh, this is so dope. It's called Life After Death Star. It's on SoundCloud for free. You could download it for free on SoundCloud. Life After Death Star. It's a Biggie and Star Wars mashup. So some genius out there took Biggie's Life After Death record and basically stripped down and put in John Williams soundtracks to it. It's amazing.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to give it a listen. I saw the art, too. They've got it looked like Biggie and Vader kind of like staring face to face. I was like, I'm all about this.
I was checking some of it out yesterday as I was writing.
Overall, so very well done. There's a few tracks on there that are just dope as hell. And some tracks miss the mark a little bit, but that's okay. I mean, you know, Life After Death, obviously, one of the most classic hip-hop tracks of all time. You can't replicate that.
Well, here's the thing. It's not just Life After Death from the album. I mean, there's some from, you know, Ready to Die. There's some from Life After Death. It's kind of a compilation of Biggie's hits.
It's great. It is great. Give it a listen. And so that will do it for us for today. Thank you so much for listening on this Friday. Hey, good luck for you guys out there in the fantasy playoffs.
Yes, good luck.
For the WizKid, MG, and Fabs, I'm James Coe. We are out.
All right, you just listened to the fantasy podcast. How about a little reality? The reality is the Around the NFL podcast is killing it this week. We're previewing all the Week 14 games.
And this is Chris Wesley. Be sure to tune in also for the recap of an exciting Thursday night game between the Cardinals and the Vikings.
How can you not listen now?